One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the heart with glory. Yes, all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. I'm glad he came to stay. He didn't come just to visit, but he came to stay. I appreciate the good preaching by my friend. And I was preaching just recent out of Acts chapter 8. And God moved a man named Philip from Samaria down into the desert to reach one black man with the gospel of Christ. That Ethiopian eunuch went to the right building. He's even reading from the right book. But Philip made the approach and he said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should die?" I believe God does the saving. I want God to use me to deliver the message. That's all God asked me to do, is to deliver the message. And so if God is going to reach others through my life, I must be inspired by the person of Christ. I thank God for who he is. He's not a cross between Grandpa and Santa Claus. He's not the man upstairs. He's God. I'm saying to you, he's Almighty God. He's Savior. He's Lord. I'm inspired when I consider who he is. And he's my Savior. The psalmist writing in Psalm 48 and 14, he said, "This God is our God forever and ever. He'll be our guide even unto death." He's a God that never, ever changes. Amen. I better get still here. I'm going to be these wires and rumors of wires. But what I was saying, I'm inspired when I consider him. Not only who he is, but what he did. He went to an old rugged cross and suffered all hell for all sinners that I might be saved by his marvelous grace. I'm grateful for his friendship. He's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm grateful for who he is and thank God for what he did. But I want to say I thank God for what he is doing. Amen. Yeah, I'm saying, hey, getting saved is not a head start program to push you toward heaven and you make it the best way you can. No, no, no. We're not climbing up the rough side of the mountain. I'm saying we're saved eternally because of what he did and what he is doing. Praise God and the Lamb forever. I'm glad for what he's going to do. Amen. We're not going to have to wait to the last few minutes of the game to try to kick a field goal to see whether we won or not. We're already on the winning time. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And so I'm grateful for who He is and what He has done and what He's promised to do. But then I'm inspired when I think of the fact of why He left me here. Over the last 18 months, we've lost a lot of dear preacher friends. And that's God's taken home to glory. And I'm going to say the fact that you're here tonight is not because of the vitamins you take. It's because of God Almighty. Our times are in God's hands. Amen. And so I said at the outset of this so-called pandemic, I believe it was designed. I believe it was planned. I believe it was sent over here. Amen. You can believe what you want to. I said then, there's not enough hand wash in the world to keep you safe. And there's not a mask strong enough to keep you safe. But I got a Bible verse that'll help you along the way. In Psalm 140 and verse 7, He said, Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Thank God. And you don't have to pay anything with it. I'm inspired by who He is, what He's done, what He is doing, what He's promised to do. I'm inspired when I think of the fact of His goodness to me, His goodness and mercy. I'm thankful for the privilege of being a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's left us here that we might bring glory to Him. And then if we're going to reach others with the gospel, and by the way, I'm for that. I'm for that. And if you're not for it, you're not in God's will. For He's not willing that any should perish. I was preaching on the gospel just a few days ago, and a man kind of buttonholed me on the way out, and he said, which gospel were you talking about? He said, you're talking about the everlasting gospel? I said, I'm talking about the gospel that Paul preached. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And by the way, there is no other gospel. You see, the gospel unveils the mind of God, unlocks the heart of God, and unfolds the will of God. Listen, the full gospel is Jesus Christ and nothing less. And the plain gospel is Jesus Christ and nothing more. And the pure gospel is Jesus Christ and nothing else. I'm grateful for the gospel. It is the power of God into salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But then if we're going to reach others, we must be inspired. That's why you better read this book. I'm grateful for the good Bible preaching we've heard in these days. Yes, but this book, it's a matter of saturating your life with the Word of God. And, right. And God inspires us. Yep. And so we're inspired by the person, but we're indwelt with a passion. It was referenced already today in the book of Jude of some having compassion, making a difference. Jesus stood outside the city of Jerusalem and cried, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I gather ye together as a hen gathered chicks under her wing, and ye would not. He wept over their unbelief. We don't see many tears anymore in church. When I first got saved, and I'd go to meeting, listen, it didn't have to be a revival meeting, but you'd often see a puddle of tears on the altar where folks' heart was broken. But we've got used to sinning today, and we got used to covering it up. May God break our hearts, and may God give us compassion. Going to reach people for the Lord, then you've got to be impartial to people. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ died for all men. But we become very selective. We don't hear much about lawyers getting saved. Or doctors. Or bankers. But the same Christ who died for you, died for them. So it must be inspired by a person into a little passion, impartial to people, but I've got to get involved with the problem.
Amen.
You've got to go where they are.
Yes,
they're not coming.
Yep.
We've got to go where they are.
Amen.
And then we must be willing to invest our possessions.
Amen.
My friend Ray Hancock's with the Lord tonight. Great preacher. But he said there's only one thing that two independent Baptists can agree on. That's what the third one ought to give. Hello. You can't preach a mission conference without dealing with money.
It
takes money to send these men to the field. It takes money to run a radio ministry, radio station. It takes money. And so Brother Roloff used to say, when you mention money, a lot of these folks get cirrhosis of the giver.
Yeah.
It's that nerve that runs down around the billfold here. Amen. Amen. I want you to be reminded tonight that four times, five times, six times, the Lord said, go. Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, Acts chapter 1, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20. I'm looking at that statement made in John's gospel, John chapter number 20. And I want us to see just a thought tonight from this passage of Scripture. I've had the joy of being able to preach on some mission fields. And when I got saved, I was introduced to the matter of faith promise giving. I started out in giving to faith promise $1 a week. But J. Harold Smith started out with $5 a year. But before it was over, he was sending multiplied thousands of dollars onto heaven. I got saved in 1960. In the early 60s, Dr. J.B. Buffington came to be my pastor. I was there in that transition time in the church when we was without a pastor. But God brought Dr. Buffington in.
Amen.
And Dr. Buffington introduced to us Faith Promise Mission Giving. I believe missions is the heart of God.
Yes, sir.
And I don't believe a church is what it should be if it's not involved in missions, both at home and abroad. And so in John chapter 20, I want to just read two or three verses, and I will not be long, but are you saved today?
Yes.
You sure about it?
Yes.
As my friend Robert Taylor used to say, there's only one thing better than being saved, and that's knowing.
Yeah.
By the way, I just got permission from the family to be able to print his books again. He wrote three books, one on the Rose of Sharon, one on the apple of his eye, and one on Down But Not Out. Great, great material. And so God willing, in the days ahead, we hope to be able to get those back in print again.
Amen.
Pray for him. He's 96 years old. He sleeps most of the time. He's not able to get out. But one of the closest preacher friends I have in this world is Brother Robert Taylor. John chapter 20. Notice with me verse 19. The Bible said, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his feet. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Amen. I want to preach just a little while on being identified with Christ in his mission. Oh, he had a mission. Being identified with Christ in his mission. Would you pray with us? Father, bless, I pray, your word to our heart. We're grateful for the good preaching that we've heard today. And Lord, how you've blessed our heart. Thank you for the good singing and for the spirit, as Brother Brunson has mentioned, the good spirit in this service. I do pray tonight for Mrs. Shepherd's father that you might bless him. And Lord, that you'd bless the family and give them grace and strength and help. And bless those doctors and nurses as they assist. And Lord, we thank you that you are very present help in trouble. Meet their needs, we ask. And then move in this service. I pray that you would challenge us to be identified with Christ in his mission. For Jesus' sake, I pray. Amen and amen. These are words spoken by the Lord Jesus himself. He's speaking to the disciples. And this is after the resurrection, prior to his ascension. Jesus was identifying his disciples with himself and with the mission to this world. I've had the privilege of, as I said, preaching in several mission fields. I've been to Mexico several times. I had the privilege of going to the Philippines, and in the first day I preached 5 different services in the Philippines. In one of those services, 15 folk got saved in one service. I preached in the West Indies many times. I preached in the country of Costa Rica. I've been to Panama and preached in Panama. And by the way, here's why I said that. I find this, that the same gospel that worked in South Georgia would work all the way around the world. Don't change the message. It's still the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes it, to the Jew first and also the... So these words were spoken by the Lord himself. Now, consider the significance of his words. He said in verse number 21, as my Father has sent me, even so send I... Two very important little words with two letters each. As and so. As, just like the Father sent me, I'm sending. Hallelujah. He not only sends, but he gives the enablement to do. I read, it's all right if I move around a little bit. I said that over there in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12, he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But it didn't stop there. He said in verse 13, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God who starts the fire. It's God who fans the flame. It's God who gives you the want to. Amen. I'm saying, praise God. He said, no good thing would he withhold from them who walk uprightly. Amen. And so it is God that works in us. Amen. Both to will and to do. Amen. The want to and the determination to do it. Amen. Now, I had the privilege of having what I consider some of the giants in mission work in my church, men like James W. Crumpton. I've said so many times, I believe if I were to say the man that would remind me most of what I feel the Lord Jesus would be like, it would be Dr. James Crumpton. A man with a tender heart, a man with compassion for others, and a burning zeal in his heart to see sinners converted by the grace of God. I sat in the ministry of Dr. Lee Robertson, a man with a passion to reach sinners with the gospel. And I could go on and on of men that God allowed me to have contact with that left an indelible impression upon my life. I'm so grateful for that. But Jesus is saying to those disciples, as the Father has sent, that's missions.
Right.
Greatest missionary the world ever knew.
Yeah.
As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. I've got two or three little things that I want to say about that. As and so.
Amen.
He said, as so. The significance of this is our identification with the Savior in our lives and our service for the world. And by the way, when they come to church and they go away talking about a preacher, you've missed it. And they've missed it too. The songs we sing is to be for the glory of the Lord Jesus. I noticed that Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And by the way, there's no greater message than that message of Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. As and so means that we are under a like mandate as he was. It is an authoritative command. We have the authorization to act and an order, to fulfill the Great Commission. Jesus was sent into this world under the authority, the command of his Heavenly Father. In John chapter 5, if you'll notice with me, John chapter 5, and let's look at a couple of verses. John chapter 5, and I'm looking at verse number 23. In John 5 and verse number 23, the scripture reads this way. He said that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. He's on a mission from the Father. And the Father sent him. In John chapter 4, notice with me verse number 34. In John 4 and 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Again, the emphasis is that he's sent by the Father. He said on another occasion, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He manifests the Father. He's showing forth the Father to a world that's without God and without hope. In like manner, Christians are sent into the world under the authority and the command of Jesus. So as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Jesus said in John 4:35, he said, say not, there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. But I say unto thee, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields, for they're white already to harvest. And he made a request. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. Amen. And so the word said, send laborers.
Yes,
the word said, send laborers. But I read an account in the 16th chapter of the book of Luke where a rich man died and was in hell. And he's conversing with Abraham. And that wicked man in hell said, would you send someone to my father's house? So the word said, send laborers. The wicked said, send someone. Isaiah chapter 6. It was in the year that King Uzziah died. He said, I saw also the Lord high. And by the way, you're not going to get saved until you see him either. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Amen. And listen, when he saw the Lord, he recognized his wretchedness. And the Lord said, whom shall I send? And who'll go for me? And the washed said, Would you send me? Amen. Would you send me? And by the way, that's what missions is about. The word, the wicked, and the washed. It's being sent by the Father. And so he obeyed, Jesus obeyed the Father's mandate. And so we are obligated to obey his mandate for us. I say this, and I know folk get nervous when you use the word sovereign, but our God is a sovereign God. He can do anything he chooses, anytime he chooses, any way he chooses. He is a sovereign God. But when you got born physically, God gave you a will. It is called a free will. We're not free will Baptists. We are Baptists with free wills. Amen. And God respects your free will. He does not force himself on you. But he said, whosoever will may come. Amen. God respects your free will. God's grieved over your self-will. God challenges your stubborn will. But God always responds to the yielded will. Oh, yes. It's a matter of his sovereign, as the Father was sovereign over his own Son, so is the Son of God sovereign over us. He said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you, as the Father. And so world evangelism is divinely mandatory on every believer. Let me put it on pause just a minute and just talk to you. As churches, as pastors, as church members, we expect correspondence coming from the missionary. And if they do not send some correspondence, you'll drop it. When's the last time you corresponded? When's the last time you sent a letter? Your phone rings, pick her up, buddy, it'll be for you. God doesn't dial wrong numbers. You see, there's two sides to that thing. It's a privilege to be able to support missionaries. And we need to stay in touch. But I'd say this. If I was a missionary on a particularly foreign field, I would thrill to get a letter from home. It wouldn't have to be a long letter. If just somebody would say, thought about you today, met you at the throne this morning. How y'all doing? Amen. While I'm just talking a little bit, let me talk a little more. I want to say to you, I respect mission agencies. But mission agents do not send missionaries to the field. Local churches send missionaries to the field. And when a mission board steps over that, they're out of Bible order. Amen. I appreciate Brother Effney, and I told him so this morning, the emphasis upon the indigenous church. That was Dr. Crumpton's forte. But if you're right biblically, you'll stand that way too. Amen. We're not governed by what they do in Nashville or Hammond. Or any other place. We're governed by this local assembly. Praise God. Now, I'm not, don't misunderstand me. I'm not against mission boards as long as they don't usurp authority over the local church. So I had a man called out of my church in Tallahassee, Florida, and the mission directors came to my office and interviewed the candidate, and they made clear, they made plain, that day in my office, that if that missionary on the field got in trouble in any fashion, he's answerable to the local church. Amen. Mission boards don't discipline. Y'all all right? Well, as the Father has sent me, Even so send I you. And so Christ's entire life on earth, he lived in subjection to the Father's will. He said, Lord, it's written in the volume book, I've come to do thy will, O God. He said in John chapter 9, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. He was sent to reveal the Father to mankind. He was sent to give you several verses in John's Gospel chapter 1, verse 14 through 18, John 17, 3. He was sent to do what? Reveal the Father. And so it's not, Brother Jimmy, it's not just enough to say we ought to be showing the Father.
Amen.
Amen. That's the will of God. That's the will of God for every member of Highland Ford Baptist Church. And so while I'm passing by this jumped up. I believe every member ought to be involved in mission giving.
Yes, sir.
I believe if we do not teach young people the importance of by faith giving to God, then it'll be more difficult when they become teenagers or young adults. And so it's important that they get it instilled in their heart. I have just one daughter. The doctor said when my wife and I were married, said it's not likely you'll ever have children. And my wife had some surgery, and God blessed us with one child. She was born after we'd been married 7 years and 9 months to the day. Day before yesterday, she was 52 years old. She said to me, she married a fellow she met in Bible school, and he's a businessman involved in Subway sandwich shops. But my daughter plays a piano in the church that was started in our area in Sevierville. Here's what my daughter said. She said, Daddy, they don't emphasize missions in our church. And she said, if they would just at least make a effort, said, we would like to give, we'd like to be involved in it if they do it. And so in the providence of God, that pastor called me and said, would you come and preach on Faith Promise?
Amen.
And so I did 17 years ago. I preached on Faith Promise, and year by year that thing's grown and grown and grown and grown. God will give more through you than he will ever give to you.
That's right.
And Paul said it this way in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He said, when your faith is increased, we shall be enlarged by you to preach the gospel in reason and beyond. But it's your faith. And so we give by faith. Amen.
Amen.
We trust God by faith. If you can figure it out with pencil and paper, that's not faith.
Right.
Amen. And so as the Father has sent me, even so send I you.
Amen.
He sent us where? To get the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
Get the gospel to every creature. And so it means that we're sent on like, he was sent to reveal God to mankind. And he did it in two ways. He did it in the way he lived, and he did it in the way he taught. He's revealing the Father to the world. In John chapter 17, if you'll notice that one verse with me, John 17 and verse number 3, the Bible said in John 17 and 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He's what? He's sent. And so we must do this. How do we do it? We do this by going and presenting the gospel, presenting the unadulterated word of God. Not my opinion, what somebody else might have said, but what God said. We present that to men and women as they are. And the way the missionaries live among the people must reveal godliness. So, Jesus came, the Bible said in Luke 19, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now you can't save them.
Right.
And I can't save them.
Right.
But I can be an instrument in the hands of God to open the Word of God and to pour in the truth of the Word. And God does that inward work. That unseen work. That doesn't remain unseen. And so he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so he's pointing, with Jimmy, he's pointing folks to the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the redemptive work. But notice also, he came not only to manifest the Father, to show forth the Father, but he came to build his church.
Oh yeah.
Yes. He's in the church building business. You can't build it. But he's going to build it. But it takes your hands and mine and touch the lives of others. And the church is built. By the way, I'm for church building.
Yes, sir.
I'm not for proselyting. There's a peck of wood that resigned a church in your state and moved to Sevierville, no, to Pigeon Forge, and was sitting in a church that was struggling anyway, and with the thought that he was going to be able to take that church. And when it blew up in his face, he pulled 17 other members out of that church. And I say that is wicked as the devil himself. God does not tear down one church to build up another. So we ought to be involved in church building. It's this. Notice from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And time gets in high gear. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at a couple of verses. And let's look at verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2. The Bible said, "Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly joined together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit."
Right.
It is to recognize this by reaching people with the gospel of Christ. And by the way, I believe this. I believe that when you get saved, that you're baptized into the family of God, the body of Christ. Sudden placement. Amen. We're there. God doesn't have two bodies. He has one body, and he has no stepchildren.
Amen.
And so, by winning others to Christ. And then he said, "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." It means that we are to proclaim a like message. A message that's the same. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have." His message was also of God's righteousness and God's judgment. I say his message was a message of forgiveness of sin. His message was a message of repentance and faith. And as he said, "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." It means that we are equipped with the like mantle. It was Elisha that desired a double portion of Elijah. And he received that mantle illustrated in the life of Elijah and Elisha. In John 20, again, he said, in verse 21 or verse 20 through 23, it constitutes one of the most important missionary passages in the New Testament. And he said, "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." So could we say that as he was in the world, so are we?
Yep.
Now don't misunderstand me. You look like you have a question. Notice with me this verse of scripture. In 1 John chapter 4, let's look at 1 John chapter number 4. And if you'll read with me verse number 17. The Bible said in 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. I say to the missionaries, and I say to every blood-washed child of God, the Lord Jesus said, just like the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Amen. We've emphasized the fact that God does not call everybody to be a missionary to go out yonder somewhere. But God does call everybody to represent him. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Thank you.